We have many ways to celebrate Christmas. As Christians, this is to commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. This afternoon, a group of our brothers and sisters stood outside of the church singing Christmas carols. What a wonderful way to announce, to proclaim the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Our Lord Jesus is the Word from the beginning. Our Lord is the Word who was with God in the beginning. He became flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. During his years on earth, he taught us a lot of precious truth about life, about righteousness, above the kingdom of God. Among all these truths, we have this parable of the Good Samaritan. We all are familiar with this story. The story begins with a question from a lawyer. This lawyer probably were among those who listened to Jesus. Now he stood up and want to put Jesus to the test. A lawyer is someone who learned the law. He studied the law. The lawyer is kind of a professor nowadays in the seminary, or a biblical scholar who knows the law, who knows God's word. And he is like a teacher. He likes to test others to see if Jesus knows the truth. So this lawyer stood up and asked Jesus this question. He said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a very important question. This is not a small question. If he asked Jesus, "What should I do to have a successful life, to have a prosperous life, to have a healthy life?" Then many people in this world can answer that question. But this is no small question, a question about eternal life. He asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" If you remember, there's another person in the Bible, that rich young man, asked Jesus the same question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus, knowing this is a lawyer, knowing that he knew the law, and then asked him back. Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How do you read it? You are a lawyer. You are a biblical scholar. You know the Old Testament. What is in the law? And what is your interpretation? What is your understanding? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind." This is the Jewish Shema in Deuteronomy 6. We know that. He quoted this Old Testament verse, but also he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." That second part was actually from Old Testament book, Leviticus chapter 19. And we also remember when Jesus was in Jerusalem during his last week, another lawyer, probably not this one, asked another question, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And secondly, love your neighbor as yourself." This is the greatest commandment. And we know even in the New Testament, like Apostle James in his epistle, he said this is a royal law, to love your neighbors as yourself. Apostle Paul also said, the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14. This is very important. And Jesus asked the lawyer, you ask about eternal life, how to inherit eternal life. You should know the law. So this man answered Jesus, and Jesus said, you have answered correctly. That's the right answer. Do this, and you will live. Yes, you know the answer, but you need to do this. You need to do the law. You need love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and also love your neighbors as yourself. You need to do it. I know that you're a scholar, you know a lot of knowledge, but knowing all those knowledge is not enough. You need to do it. As you said, what should I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That you shall do this. First, love God, and then love your neighbors. And then the lawyer had another question. Verse 29, he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, then he asked the second question, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? You see, a simple question. If he asked us, we said, why you ask me? You know your neighbors. I'm not familiar with the community you're living in. Why you ask Jesus, who is your neighbor? But you see here, the word said, desiring to justify himself. He wants to be justified. Justified for what? Maybe he's feeling that he hadn't loved his neighbor as himself. Then he needs to ask Jesus, show me who are my neighbors, because I'm not sure who are my neighbors. Yes, they live beside me, but we never talk with each other. I don't know who are my neighbors. Only if you tell me who are my neighbors, then I will fulfill this second commandment. I will love them as myself. Maybe in this way, he wants to desire to justify himself. Or maybe he said, you see, Jesus, this is my neighbor as you know. This is the priest. This is the Levite. And this is the official. This is the billionaire. I love all of them. They are all my neighbors. You see, I have already fulfilled this second law. To justify himself. It's upon this second question, Jesus told this parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said to him and replied, he said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. A sad story, a very critical situation. This man from Jerusalem, apparently, who was a Jew, and he went through that road. Some commentators said this is notoriously bad because there's a lot of robbers. Yes. It could be happened even nowadays, even in Toronto, the good. A man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among robbers. What robbers did to him is that they stripped him and beat him and departed him, most likely rob him and take away all his possessions and leaving him there half dead. A desperate situation, a poor man, a very sad situation there. You imagine this man naked, beaten up, bleeding, half dead. And maybe the day become dark. You can imagine this man may keep bleed and maybe his life will be endangered. Maybe there's wild animals there around. This man would die. The story goes, Jesus said, now, by chance, it's not by plan, by chance, a priest was going down that road. A priest, you know, is someone who a religious leader, who was serving God in the temple, who was close to God, who supposed to be religiously godly people. by his profession. He, by chance, going down that road, and when he saw him, he saw this poor man. He saw this poor man is dying, but passed by on the other side. Passed by. The word passed by, go around. He didn't want to go through. He passed by. Maybe he will give you an excuse. He said, I have some very, very important job to do in Jericho. They invite me to preach a sermon. This is so important. I need to go. I have no time to waste. So he went. He passed by that person. And then another person, likewise a Levite. Levite, even though he is not like a priest higher in the rank in the religious activities, but Levite, we know from the Old Testament, also the whole tribe is dedicated to God, to serve God in the temple. They are also supposed to be godly. They are also supposed to be close to God. But likewise, this Levite came to that place. He came to that place. Yes, he was there and saw him. It's not that he didn't see. He saw him. He saw him there, half dead, passed by on the other side. Imagine today if we got a car accident on the highway and we were wounded. We were bleeding. And you reach out and need help, and you see all these cars passing by, keep passing by. What a situation here. But Jesus said in verse 33, a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he didn't mention where this Samaritan came from, maybe from Samaria, came to where he was when he saw him. Similarly, he also came to that place, came to that man, and saw that man. He had compassion. He had compassion. What he did is not other only he had compassion and said, oh, I feel so sorry for you. I will call 911. But he will reach out. And from verse 34 and following, we see all this words, all these verbs he continually did. He said, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and looked after him, took care of him. He did all that he can to help this poor man from Jerusalem. But not only that, after that night, the next day, we can imagine this man has his own business. He needs to go. He left 2 denarii. We don't know how much is that, but you can consider Holiday Inn, how much one night it cost. Or maybe he needs to stay there 2 nights, 3 nights. But what he said is, whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. He paid a price for a stranger. This Samaritan didn't know. He didn't know this man from Jerusalem. But he did the best work that we can imagine. He not only go for 1 mile, but a second mile, the third mile, to help this stranger. Then by concluding, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Which of these three do you think is a neighbor to this poor man? You see, the lawyer's question is, who is my neighbor? But Jesus now asks him, who do you think is a neighbor of this man? He asks, who is my neighbor that I should love as myself? But Jesus concluded and asking him, who is a neighbor of him, of this man? Maybe we think Jesus wants to put this lawyer in the shoes of these poor people. said, "If you were this poor man, who do you think is the neighbor? The priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan?" You know, in the New Testament, Samaritan is not a good word. Samaritan is someone who despised by the Jews, especially during Jesus' time. Samaritan are those who worship all kinds of gods. They are religiously filthy. They are not as holy as Jewish people in Jerusalem. But this man who didn't know the one who fell into the hands of the robber, who was from Samaria, who was despised by the religious elites, he did such a good work to help a poor man. We name this story as a parable of the Good Samaritan, even though Good Samaritan, the term, isn't here in the text. But consider this term, Good Samaritan. It's natural for us, but for the Jews in Jesus' time, this is impossible. Samaritan cannot be good. Samaritan is filthy. They worship all kinds of God. They are kind of dogs. Filthy Jews will refuse to even eat together with Samaritan. But Jesus asked eventually, who is the neighbor to this man fall into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer acknowledged and said, the one who showed him mercy, the Samaritan, is a neighbor. But you see, this is very interesting, because parable, we're supposed to see a parable, an illustration. Parable means put things side by side to compare and to illustrate, to understand. The parable are normally a simple story to illustrate deep, profound, abstract spiritual truth. Parable has this way or function of revealing, but also in many of Jesus' parables, we feel confused often. Because the reason of that confusion, because the parable, the story is from the real life of this world, but what Jesus wants to reveal to us is something heavenly. Is something not of this world. For us in this world, neighbors means those who live beside us on the same street, maybe on the same floor of apartment building. But you see here, Jesus, even though he didn't clearly say what a neighbor should be, we understand here Jesus teaching a neighbor could be anybody whom you encountered and you saw that he is in need of your help. He's not simply close to you, live in the same community with you, are those who are neighbors. In the earthly view, neighbors are someone close to us, especially living close to us. But you see, from God's perspective, neighbors, what God requires, we should love our neighbors as ourselves. It's not those simply in the same community, but could be anyone. This is very clear in this parable. But interesting, Jesus didn't simply say, okay, you ask me who is your neighbor. I tell you who is your neighbor. Anyone you come across and you see he is in need of your help and you should help. You should treat him as your neighbor, whether it's on the train station or on airplane. If they are in need, sit beside you, you need to reach out to help. Jesus used this parable to compare something. And in this parable, we see a sharp comparison. On the one side is a religious elite, Levite, and even priest, as most holy people among the Jews. And here on the other side is filthy Samaritan, away from God. They do not worship God with their own heart, with their full heart. They worship all kinds of God. Here, this Levite and this priest are from Jerusalem. And that poor man also from Jerusalem. Maybe they didn't live in the same region or same community. Some live in the high upper class. But they all from Jerusalem. And they supposed to be neighbors. But this Samaritan is not from Jerusalem. Is not a Jew. He was not, in a sense, a neighbor to this poor man. And then Jesus said to the lawyer, "Who do you think is a neighbor of this man?" And he answered, he has to acknowledge that the one who showed him mercy, the Samaritan. The Samaritan, even though he lived far, far away from Jerusalem, but he is the neighbor of this poor man. In which way? In which sense? No, he's not the neighbor. Right. Humanly speaking, he was not the neighbor. He never lived together, never met each other. They were not neighbors, but you see, he showed his mercy. He had his compassion. His heart was close to the heart of that poor man. His heart was closed to that poor man. As Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, 12, the golden rule, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If you desire others to do something to you, if you were that poor man, do you desire this Levite or this Samaritan to help you? And then you will do the same. This Samaritan was a neighbor in the sense, not earthly sense, but in the sense from God's perspective. And then if we would continually ask, of these three people who are fulfilling that commandment, who are fulfilling that royal law to this poor man. That royal law said, love your neighbors as yourself. Did the Levite, did the priest love his neighbor as himself? Or the Samaritan loved this poor man as himself? Who fulfilled the law? And I think this Samaritan again. And if we continually ask, who loved God more? We won't say who loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. We know, we understand Samaritans, they have divided hearts. But even just compare, even though we agree that this Samaritan, he would never be in heaven to be with God. But just to compare these two groups, who is the one who loved God more? The Samaritan. This sinner, this Samaritan was despised, but compared to the priest, the Levite, the Jews, even this lawyer, the Samaritan close to God's heart. You see, when we learn God's word, we learn this commandment, we learn, we study, we interpret the law. Someone said we need literally interpret this law, love your neighbors as yourself. Who is my neighbor? Can you list all your neighbors? And then you can finish there, said, I have fulfilled the law. The comparison is very strong there in this picture. The comparison shows us This lawyer in his mind, he think, as long as I know who is my neighbor, I will be able to fulfill. And then I will be able to fulfill the great commandment. And then I will be able to inherit the eternal life. But what Jesus answered is beyond his question. Jesus not simply tell him who the neighbors are. Jesus said, who the neighbors are is not that important. The important is that you truly love them. Even a stranger, even someone you never met, you never know. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus even pushed further. Jesus said, you heard the saying that you should love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I tell you, you should even love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. It's not about who is my neighbor. And then I can fulfill, then I can justify myself whether I fulfilled the law or not. Is that, have you loved others as yourself? If we reflect upon our own hearts, we know that no one would be able to love others as him or herself. Because we are all selfish. That's true. We are all selfish. We only concern our own business. We only concern our own schedule. We have many things to do. How about our neighbors? How about others that we come across and we saw they're in desperate situation, they need help. We are all selfish. This is a sin. Even from the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, the sin separated Adam and Eve from God. They tried to have that distance from God. Even they living still in that garden, they want to keep away from God. But you see, when we sin against God, that distance also happens among ourselves. Even between Adam and Eve, there is a distance. Even between that intimate relationship between the husband and the wife, there is a distance. And Adam tried to excuse himself. He tried to push all the responsibility to his loving wife. It's not my fault, her fault. This is the reality. From Adam and Eve until now, we do not love God as we ought to. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves because we are not able to love. We may come to the seminary, we may come to the church, we may learn, we may like this lawyer to study, to meditate, to interpret, to think through. But have we done? It's easy to study 3 years, 5 years, 10 years to get a degree of lawyer. It is so hard to do. Even just bring a cup of cold water to that person who need help in my presence. Why is it so hard? Because we are selfish. We only concern ourselves, our own business, our own matters. God loves this world. God loves us and gave us his only begotten Son. You see, 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus, the Word from the beginning, came into this world. We said that's the doctrine of incarnation. Incarnation is not only Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world. He came into our lives. He came to you and me. The Word become flesh. God, not like this lawyer, not like Pharisees, only teach, only interpret, only talk about the commandment. Word, the Word became flesh. Jesus came into this world to fulfill the requirements of the law. In his 30 plus years on this earth, he lived out a perfect life to fulfill the requirement of the law. He knew that we are not able to fulfill, so he came to undertake this responsibility. But we as sinners, we do not know him. Even those Jews rejected him, pushed him away. When this word came to their lives, they do not accept the word. They do not accept the light. They bring Jesus to Calvary and kneeled him on the cross and deny him. You see, if we know what is right and wrong, if we, as James said in his epistle, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. It is sin if we know what is right, but we fail to do it. It is sin. We haven't loved God as we ought. We haven't loved our neighbors as we ought. And Jesus, as the Bible reveals, we were enemies of God. We have this distance away from God. We would by no means be called neighbors of God. God has no responsibility to come into this world, to give us his greatest gift, to save us. But when God gave us his only son, his own son, we nailed him onto the cross. And those disciples who were with him, those disciples who want to follow Jesus to inherit eternal life, when Jesus was arrested, what did they do? They ran away. They try to avoid that big trouble. Even Peter denied our Lord three times. Even Peter, who thought, I am the one who truly loved the Lord. Even Peter denied the Lord three times. But our Lord still loves us. He came to fulfill that law, to love his neighbors. When those Roman soldiers nailed him on the cross, he said, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. If they know that they are crucifying the Son of God unto cross, they will tremble because the hell is widely open for those enemies. But Jesus said, Father, forgive. In that, Jesus fulfilled that law. Love not only your neighbors, love even your enemies. Our Lord came to fulfill, as he said, I came not to abolish the law, but fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law that requires him to love God the Father with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind and strength. And there in Garden of Gethsemane, there, facing that bitter cup, he didn't pass by. He would, like many of us, pass by. He would, like that priest, pass by. He would, like that Levite, pass by. It's not his business. That cup is for you and for me to drink. He didn't pass by. He, like that Samaritan, stop there. Pray to Father, if it's possible, please remove this cup. This is a terrible cup. The wrath of God. But not my will, but your will be done. That shows how much Jesus loved the Father. that shows the love of God, even towards sinners like us. We were strangers. We were enemy. We were by no means even a neighbor to Jesus. But he loved us. He didn't pass by that poor sinner. He didn't pass by the judgment that you and me deserve. And he went to the cross, undertake, and drink that bitter cup, that we may be saved. He paid the price of his own life. He shed his blood, that we would have that blood when the angel of death comes. We'll see the blood of the Lamb and pass over us. And we would be saved. We would be saved. This is the beauty of the love of Christ. The lawyer asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now the rich young man asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" If this question asked today, asked to you, to me, we will feel how arrogant you are to ask a question like this. What you can do? You can do the most good thing. The best thing you can do is like filthy rocks in the sight of God. What you can do to inherit eternal life? And this question, if asked to us, we know the answer. We know the answer is to believe in Jesus Christ. And by believing, you will have eternal life. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? His concern is eternal life, his own life. His boast is his works. His desire is to justify himself. Even like many of us, we want to justify ourselves. We want to depend on our own piety, our own works, our own doctrine, our own money, possessions. And we do all this in order that we would have eternal life. But you see, if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we would have eternal life. We would have eternal life in Jesus by faith. We need to know we would never be able to fulfill this law. Only Jesus Christ, our Savior, he died on the cross, shed his blood, atoned our sins, and reconciled us to God. And we become the dearest to God the Father. And then we are able, now we are able to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And we will be able to love our neighbors as ourselves, not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus. The Bible is very deep, but the truth can be very simple. Like Old Testament prophet Micah said, "God has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." And in the New Testament, we also remember the word said, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this simply. You want to pursue holiness. You want to pursue pure religion to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Orphans and widows, those who cannot repay you, those who are in afflictions, in troubles, to visit them, to show the love of God to those people. And we know as Christians, we need confess our sin. This lawyer, he desired to justify himself. As Christians before our Father, we don't need to justify. We just confess. Confess that we haven't loved God as we ought. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. Confess our sin. Confess our inability that we may depend on Jesus Christ, our Savior. That when we depend on Him, when we believe in Him, we will have eternal life. But in the end of the story, Jesus said, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. This is not saying that you need to do this. You need to fulfill the law that you may be justified going to heaven. No. We as Christians, we believe we already have eternal life. Now we go and do, love our neighbors as ourselves. Not that we would, by doing this, inherit eternal life. We already have eternal life. Why would we still do this? To bring glory to God the Father. Not for us, for Him. He is worthy to be praised. The Father is worthy to be praised. If in this season we can go out to sing carols, to proclaim, to announce the first coming of our Lord Jesus into this world, the incarnation. The Word became flesh. If we in this Christmas season would truly receive this greatest gift of God, the living Word, let us live out this Word. If we only hear the good news, if we only know the doctrine of justification by faith, that is no good. We need to live it out by faith. We need to live out. We can go out to sing carols, but throughout the year we can also live out a life that fulfills the law, that royal law, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then people will not only hear the good news pronounced by the shepherds, by our brothers and sisters, they would also come and see and witness God's mighty work in you and my poor life. They will not only, like those shepherds, hear, but see. And then they will believe. And then they will praise God. In this Christmas season, let us remember our Lord. He came into this world 2,000 years ago to save us. To save us, not only just let us know there is a good news, there is precious truth, the great commandment, but want us to truly have that word, that we would truly have that word in our life. May God enable us by His Holy Spirit that we would truly by faith receive and live out the word of life. Amen.